The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, September the 23rd. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with Steve Wilbur, a longtime Super Sportsman campaigner in central Pennsylvania, about the non-wing Super Sportsman series at Path Valley. And we'll also be joined by Pat Sullivan, one of the voices at Bloomington Speedway, as the Speedway gears up for Steve Kinzer's final point appearance on Friday night. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Coastal181.com, reading for racers.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Greg Hodnett. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. And as you know, we do cover both sides of the spectrum, or both sides of the street, if you like, with winged and non-wing sprint car racing. We're going to talk a little non-wing sprint car racing, but in an area where you may not think you'd see it too often. That's here in central Pennsylvania. Joining us right now is longtime Super Sportsman driver Steve Wilbur. Steve's been running since the 1995 season and picking up 20 wins along the way. His father, the hobby car champion of the late Silver Spring Speedway back in 1968 and 1969. And Steve was one of the people behind the one of the people spearheading the idea to take the wings off the Super Sportsman. And this year they had a very productive non-wing Super Sportsman series at Path Valley Speedway. And Steve joins us now to talk about that. Steve, great pleasure to talk with you. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. This is, we had an exciting year, that's for sure. And I'm excited to share all this with you.
You and I are doing a little reminiscing because I've had the privilege of seeing the Super Sportsman for many, many years now at a number of different tracks. And, of course, they've taken the wings off from time to time at Silver Spring, and they did a non-wing show at the Grove a few years ago. But what brought about the idea to go to a neat little quarter-mile track like Path Valley and come up with a Friday night non-wing Super Sportsman series?
Well, it started out, a buddy of mine rode our motorcycles down, Brian Gauntz rode our motorcycles down to Kutztown back last year at the end of the year, and we caught their last 600 micro sprint wingless show and speedster show, and we kind of got to brainstorming from there, and, I said to him, I said, we need to find a neat little track that we could, you know, take the sportsman to and do some stuff like that. So, I got to thinking about it, and I, reading the race paper and stuff and following websites, and I'm like, man, Path Valley be the perfect place. Because we did do it like 2 or 3 years ago. We went to the Grove. We talked them into letting us run a wingless show. And I'm telling you, doing that at the Grove, every corner, when you got the end of the straightaway and threw them things sideways, you were puckering up a little bit. That was just like, a little bit crazy doing it there. So, I approached John Winsett and his partner Jack at Path Valley and ran the idea about, through them, or I ran it by them, and, we came to an agreement about some stuff, and I went and talked to some guys and got some, commitments out of some guys that would be willing to do it, and we structured a decent purse that was compatible to what we normally run for, and it just, you know, we started, you know, I said, how about we just try one a month? I talked to, like, Carmen Paragon, some of the other guys, Rick Barr, and we thought once a month would be a perfect scenario to do this, to get everybody's feet wet, and still not conflict, because we all were still running the wing shows, too, so we made sure no schedules conflicted with the wing stuff, and we set it up, and it just really went better than I ever expected this year, and it was some great racing out there, I'll tell you that. And it's a perfect size, you know, it's a little quarter-mile bull ring, you know, out the turnpike, and, you know, it just it really went really well.
Steve, of the drivers that you spoke with, how many of them were interested, would you say, in the very beginning, and did you get any of those deer-in-the-headlight looks like, you're serious, you want us to take these wings off? Because as you mentioned, you go down the end of turn one, or even turn three, the fastest part of Williams Grove, and you guys were lying to have that wing on there. You don't have that wing on. It's a whole different ballgame. Where was the percentage between those who thought maybe you're a little bit on the crazy side and those who were interested and wanted to give it some thought before they committed to doing it?
Well, we ran into that pretty much right away. You know, when we suggested about this wingless series, we definitely got a lot of guys saying, you guys are nuts. And I said, no, wait, now we're not doing it at the Grove. This is Path Valley, you know. The speeds would be down. And then guys started thinking, well, you know, Path Valley would probably be the perfect place to do this at because of the speeds and stuff. So we had some guys fearing about getting stuff tore up and not being able to race Saturday night. So that hurt a little bit. But, you know, what's wild is, you know, we started out our first show up there. We drew 12 cars, which I was hoping for a little bit better. But, you know, we're like, they were happy with it. They're like, hey, this is our first night. Let's do this. We did it. Then the next week we had 15, or the second race. And then, you know, the last race here we had 20. So it just grew out of the six races each time more and more. And what was neat is, you know, the new guys that would come the second, third, fourth race went back and told everybody, man, this is pretty cool. We should have been up here all along. So, you know, the last race we had up there was you know, the highlight of the year. It was just the crowds grew, too. So everything, you know, after, like, the third race, we had talked to, you know, I talked to John and them and all the guys that were running up there regular, and they're like, hey, can we do this some more in 2015? So I went to John, and I said, hey, could we do, you know, maybe every other week in 2015? And he's like, oh, yeah. So I said, will you let me know when it's good to announce? We announced that the other week that we are, for 2015, we're going to race Friday nights up there every other week.
So, wow.
It just grew and grew. And the whole another reason behind this is my opinion is, and this is just my opinion, that this area needs something different, you know. And, you know, you go to the wing shows, everything around here races with wings on, all our open-wheel divisions, the 305s, the 358s, 360s, the 410s, everything has wings on. And when you get on YouTube and watch some of the wingless racing you see out west and the Jack Slash videos, it's like, man, we're missing the boat here in Central PA. You know, my opinion is if, you know, I'm hoping this catches on so good that maybe some of these other divisions that might be struggling a little bit might say, well, maybe they're onto something here with this wingless stuff. Because I'm telling you, if people got to see this stuff live, it's it would make you scratch your head to go back and watch wing racing again.
Yeah, I've seen it firsthand up close and in person out at Indiana during the month of May when I'm out there covering the Indy 500. And the talk on Thursdays is, okay, so with the guys sitting behind me, because they're all big open wheel fans, and they're all like, where are you going tonight? Well, all depends on where the KISS series is at, because what's great, and I think we see a lot of it around here from time to time, and I think it's gotten better, those tracks out there in Indiana work together. So if you have a big race like the KISS series, the track such as Bloomington and Gas City, which race on Friday, Bloomington will shut down for that 1 week for the KISS series. Now, they may run their other divisions, but not the sprint cars. or they may bring in something different for that particular evening if their fans don't want to travel all the way up through Indianapolis traffic and the construction. And trust me, folks, their construction out there is just as bad as our construction here in Pennsylvania. And it is just an art to watch these guys and gals back them into the turns and learn to drive off of the left rear instead of the right rear. So it's really a different art. I want to go back to a moment you were saying you had 20 cars there for the finale this year, and it's a great thing to hear you'll be there every other week in 2015 at Path Valley with the Wingless Sportsman. Any of those who may have been skeptical, I'm not looking for names, but were there anybody who was skeptical that eventually did come out with a car, or do you think now that you have been able to make this announcement and you're getting the positive feedback from the other drivers, maybe they'll see some of those who may have been skeptical in the beginning start to come out and race in 2015?
Oh, yeah, we've, on Saturday nights when we'd be racing at the other tracks, Williams Grove or Lincoln or whatever, we'd have guys, stopping up, asking us how it went, this and that, and we're bugging them like, hey, man, you guys got to come out and do this. Well, we'll be out one of these nights. Well, then, Claire Tripp Finkenbeiner owns Tony Jackson's car. He's a rookie this year, and they're from out that way anyhow, not far away. And I bugged him. Finally, the fourth race, they come out, and they're like, oh, man, they loved it. And, Tony ran micros up there, so they were a really big supporter now of this deal. And there's several, Todd Leonard's a young guy, a good upcoming, racer or sportsman division that took the wing off for the first time. Like the fourth race that we had out there, and same way. So yeah, there was a lot of we were kind of like people were thinking, oh, this deal will be done in three races. That series is going to fold. Well, it turned out that not only did it not, that it just grew and grew. And I thought it would. I really had it in my heart that I thought this deal. We approached them out there, and Path Valley is a perfect place to be doing this. To give us a home track to do this at. But, the one thing that was appealing to them is we're self-starting cars. So to run a program, you don't have to have 20 push trucks. We're all self-starting and stuff. So it was a pretty easy decision for them to give this a shot. And, the staff, John Winsett, and Jack that own the place have been really, really good to our whole division. And there was definitely a lot of naysayers and stuff, and pretty skeptical people, but it really went well.
And Steve, this past week you also had the ARDC midgets in action at Path Valley. That was the first time, I believe, since 1991 when Lou Ciccone won the feature. What type of crowd was there, and is there any thoughts on doing anything with ARDC next year to have a couple doubleheader shows for the fans up that way?
I'm hoping so, because I'll tell you what, that ARDC feature was incredible. That, again, is another track that is a perfect size track for those little cars, and man, did they get around there. Their racing was great, and I talked to Wayne, one of the head guys there, before we when they booked them to be with us, and they had mentioned about doing several shows up there with us next year. But I said, well, you're talking to the wrong guy. You have to talk to John and Jack. But hopefully something can be worked out, because the crowd was insane, and word of mouth too. Like we really didn't have with our deal an advertising budget or anything to advertise. We really didn't get much print in Area Auto and stuff like that. I don't know why, honestly. I don't know if some of the wing people kind of tried to put the screws on some. I really don't know. I'm just blowing off here, but we really didn't get a lot of publicity as far as stuff like that. To try to help our cause, but everything, all the advertising I did and stuff was through, like your Facebook and stuff like that. And believe it or not, that stuff is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, all of our races got advertised through Tony Sharp that runs, you know, the Super Sportsman Facebook pages and stuff. He's been a big help to us. Joe Fry and Nathan Barr also have been a big asset to this whole deal. And we really didn't get any advertising and stuff, but the crowd for that last one was, the crowds grew all year long through word of mouth and stuff like that, as far as what the show we're putting on up there. And everything just kind of grew, but that last one with the midgets up there, the crowd was really, really good.
And you have to take into consideration as well, we're almost at the halfway point of high school football season here in central Pennsylvania, which is Kingpin on Friday nights, contrary to some popular belief out there. And when you get to this point, the diehard fans who are the diehard football fans, they're going to be where their team is at, whether they're home or away. These people travel to see their football team play. So it's always a tough draw, which is why you see tracks like Big Diamond shutting down on a Friday night in the coal region, because that's where everybody is at. They're at the high school football game. So it is encouraging to hear that there was a very good crowd, given the lack of publicity that you got other than the information on the Facebook page. We're talking with Steve Wilbur, who is in his 14th season of running the Wings Super Sportsman Cars here in central Pennsylvania, and one of the guys behind the concept of running the non-wing Super Sportsman Series at Path Valley. And again, if you're just joining us, they will be running every other week on Friday nights at Path Valley in 2015. Steve, as you look forward to 2015 and beyond, what are some things that you would like to see happen with the series? What are some things that you guys changed this year? And do you foresee this being something that could become a permanent fixture with Path Valley and the Super Sportsman in years to come?
Yeah, I definitely see that. You know, when it was going so good and everybody was having such a good time that we wanted to have a home place to do this at, and they were awesome about that and gave us a home for starting next year to do this. I think the future is huge with this deal, the way it's grown just this year. And I have several guys looking for cars to run next year, and some of the guys that didn't get to come out this year said that they're looking for backup cars, that they can do that, you know, because it's tough on you to run a Friday night deal up there and then get home and try to get a car turned around to run Saturday night. So I know there's several teams looking at getting other cars just to run that deal with us up there. So I think the future looks really, really good. And you know, the nice thing about up there that we all go up there and have fun. There's no pressure. It's just it started out as just a bunch of guys that wanted to go race on a Friday night without the wings on and have a good time, and that's exactly what happened. You know, it's like after the races, we're all carrying on laughing and stuff and hacking on each other about what happened out on the track and the kind of racing you're doing. We definitely need to find a way to beat Carmen Perrigo, because he's definitely got our number up there right now, but we're honing in on him. But I mean, there's definitely growing pains. You know, we messed around. There's quite a few nights that our draw deal went a little bit long, and this last night especially, you know, we need to get the fans in and out, get the show rolling a little bit quicker. But that's all just growing pains, you know, that we've learned. You know, we learned together, with John and Jack and the entire staff up there. But the future is definitely really bright, and we're really, really excited.
Now, the question is, and you just said one of the magical words I have not heard in a while, fun. Can you keep this a fun series without things getting out of control? And in terms of the rules, are you going by the usual Super Sportsman rules?
Yeah.
A thing or two here without the wing on, but the general rules that govern you guys, whether it be a Saturday night at the Grove or you're at Lincoln or you're at any other tracks throughout the area. So you're still using the same rules that are in the rule book, correct?
Yeah, Yeah. Okay. The only thing we did, we dropped the weight rule down just for 25 pounds.
Okay.
Just for taking the wing off, and that's it. But, yeah, we're following everything that the Wing Series will be doing. If they make a rule change, then it'll go with us, because we want guys to be able to run wherever they want, both series and this and that. So we're going to be doing everything that they're doing. You know, we're not out to go against anybody. This was just, like I said, a bunch of guys that wanted to get together. That maybe some guys. Another thing that's pretty cool about this deal is the guys that might go over to the Grove, you know, week after week and leave there with tow money, can come up to Path Valley because, you know, we're still under 24 cars, so everybody starts a feature. You know, they're paying good money to start the feature, so guys can come up there that maybe are going to the Grove on a Saturday night and bringing home tow money. You're getting a go up there, you're going to run a heat race, and you're going to run a 25-lap feature and get a lot of seat time and have a lot of fun, and you're going to walk out with a little bit of, you know, money in your pocket too. So it's been a really, really cool deal for guys that may struggle with, you know, some of the other tracks with the wings on. So it's been, it's been pretty neat as far as that goes too. But yeah, everything as far as rules, we're following everything that the Wing Series is doing. The only thing we're doing is, of course, the open tire rule, which is pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys can grab tires off of 410 teams and come up there and run. As long as it holds air, that's all we ask. So anything to hold air, you're allowed to run at Path Valley. So, it seems like it's been a pretty affordable deal up there. We haven't tore up a lot of stuff, which is pretty good. Like a lot of guys were waiting, took the wait-and-see approach, too, to see how that was going to go. But I'll tell you what, it's impressive to see some of these guys come up there for the first time and wing and run a wingless car. We got some real talent, that's for sure.
Well, there's always been talent over the years. You go back through the history of the Super Sportsman and the talent that has not only come out of the division and gone on and run in the 410 division, but the talent that also has stayed in the division for many, many years. Frankie Herr, one of the longtime standards of the division, just a name that's been around for many, many years. And so whatever form of or track that you guys are at, I've always thought the Super Sportsman put on one of the most entertaining shows of the sprint car racing we do have here in central Pennsylvania. Well, Steve, it's been great to talk with you and great to hear what's happening with this non-wing Super Sportsman series and its future. And we wish you all the best of luck, and we look forward to having you back on next year. And we'll definitely get out and take in a race next season, because I know one thing, had the opportunity to take in the Fred Raymer function up there during Speed Week when he promoted the track, and that was my first trip to Path Valley, and that was pretty wild. So to see the non-wings and the midgets there, yeah, I could see how much fun that would be on a Friday night. So thanks so much. Best of luck to you for the remainder of the season, and I think from what I can gather from hearing from you, word of mouth has really done its job, and I think the fans are going to be in for a treat when they go back there in 2015 to Path Valley and check out the non-wing Super Sportsman series on selected Friday nights in the season to come.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Sean, for having me on. I really appreciate it, and we will definitely get you out there to one of these shows, because our motto out there is wings are for eating, not for racing.
Now somebody just needs to come up with a two-seater ride, and I'm good to go.
Well, my seat's not far off of a two-seater, I can tell you that. Well, thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate everything.
Sure thing. Steve Wilbur, one of the guys behind the non-wing Super Sportsman series at Path Valley Speedway, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more of our show right after this. Now that fall has arrived, it's time to start working on that Christmas list for the race fan in your life. Whether you are looking for a book or a DVD, you can do all of your shopping securely online at Coastal181.com. Whether it's dirt or asphalt, short track or super speedway, open wheel or stock car, you'll find something for every race fan at Coastal181.com. Coastal181.com, reading for racers.
Hi, this is Logan Shuhart. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, coming up on Friday evening, the World of Outlaws will be visiting Bloomington Speedway. Of course, Bloomington, the home of Steve Kinser, as Steve will be making his final point appearance race at the track. And let's just make sure people understand, as it has been erroneously reported by the media and the alleged internet media, this is not Steve Kinser's final year. He is not retiring at the end of the year, but he is not going to be chasing a points championship from 2015 and beyond, which he still hasn't even said what he's going to do for 2015. But the guy who has watched Steve Kinser over the years and the guy who knows a lot about the Bloomington Speedway, one of the voices of Bloomington Speedway, joins us now, Mr. Pat Sullivan, to talk about Friday night's activities. Pat, as always, a great pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
I appreciate you having me on, Sean. Looking forward to chatting a little bit about this weekend.
Well, it should be a great night. The Outlaws are always put on a great show there at Bloomington. Now, I have not personally seen a winged race, sprint race there yet. I've seen a number of non-winged sprint cars. I can only imagine just how exciting it is to watch leaders go in and out of lap traffic as the race wears on a given night when the Outlaws are in at Bloomington.
Well, they're blindingly fast. I mean, there's just no question about that. I mean, the speed is breathtaking in and of itself. But, Sean, I think you hit on something. This is me personally, and that is, and I've seen the Outlaws in any imaginable surface from quarter miles, and I've seen them at the Indiana State Fairgrounds Mile, where they were awfully fun. But I really think it's great when the leaders are just forced to go through traffic. I mean, I think that's when real racers really shine. And given the fact that you have to react so incredibly quickly at Bloomington, given the nature of the track, it'll really make the Outlaws very exciting there.
Pat, you have a unique situation out there. You were telling me it was a number of years ago when you started that Bloomington was actually a winged track for quite some time, and it wasn't until, I guess, what, the late 90s that they switched back to the traditional non-wing racing action. But, of course, here in central Pennsylvania, it's all been about the winged sprint cars since the late 60s. When that transition occurred from winged to non-winged sprint cars, did you still see the same general race fans week in and week out at Bloomington, since a lot of the other tracks in Indiana really weren't running a lot of wing sprint car racing?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Sean, and I think the answer is yes. I don't think it really changed a great deal. Bloomington is one of those tracks that it's a place where there's a whole lot of people that come there every Friday night. They put their money down. They sit in almost the exact same seat, and they're going to do that every Friday night for most of the summer. You got the hardcore fan that travels a lot, the fan that goes to Lawrenceburg, will go up to Gas City or Lincoln Park or Paragon, Tri-State, one of the other tracks in the area. But you got a hardcore group that just comes to Bloomington. That's what they've done. I don't think it changed a great deal. Interestingly enough, when I first worked, Bloomington didn't even run every week. We had sort of an every other week schedule and a special events schedule. So there were a lot of things that changed, but I don't think it really changed the fan base all that much.
And the 2014 season, how were things for you guys out there at Bloomington?
I thought they were pretty good. I think, interestingly enough, it took a little while. Where the economy might have made a difference was in some of our support classes, to tell you the truth. We probably didn't have quite the super stock count that we had in years past, and our super stocks in Bloomington are pretty close to a late model, to be honest with you. I mean, not the Scott Blomquist kind of late models, obviously, but they're a little bit more than what people would think of as a street stock. They were down a little bit. The modifieds were down a little bit. The sprint cars, maybe a little, but the sprint car count was generally pretty good. We had some really, really good dates. We had some dates where the attendance probably could have been a little bit better. What we did have this year was not trouble with the weather, and that probably was the best year for that I can ever remember. So I think the current ownership was pretty happy with the year.
And what's a Friday night at Bloomington without one of those wonderful and deliciously tasting breaded tenderloins? Only in Bloomington can I get that on a Friday night, because we don't have those here in central Pennsylvania on any Friday night. And one of the things that I love going – well, one of the things I love about going to Bloomington, as I was saying to Pat off the air, is being able to take some pictures and stand on the inside in the infield down at the end of the front straightaway. And it's just a pretty awesome experience. But believe me, I don't eat a lot of track food, but that is one place where I make sure I bring a few extra dollars and get a couple of those bread of tenderloin sandwiches. And it's always a fun thing to have when you're going out there. Obviously, Pat, Friday night, I'm going to expect that as long as Mother Nature cooperates, and I haven't seen the forecast for Indy yet and Bloomington, I got a feeling this is going to be a pretty packed joint on Friday night. Is there anything you can tell us about any of the ceremonies going on, or is that still all kept under wraps until Friday evening rolls around?
Yeah, I don't know anything. No one has really said anything to me in specific about it. I certainly anticipate it's just going to be a throng. I mean, the biggest crowds we've ever had in Bloomington, there's three primary dates that draw gigantic crowds. One is the 4th of July. Believe it or not, we have a great fireworks show, and you have a lot of people from the town that come really to see that. Indiana Sprint Week is always gigantic, and the Outlaws, when they come, clearly are always very big, and it's particularly so here. I mean, Sean, you've been to Bloomington, and I don't think a lot of people really understand this fully. I mean, it's one thing to know that Steve Kinzer's from Bloomington, and to know about Sheldon Kinzer and Kelly Kinzer and Randy Kinzer and all that. Kinzer is a name almost like Smith in Bloomington. There's a Kinzer Pike. There's multiple businesses named Kinzer. It's one of the dominant names, frankly, in the town. I mean, this is just very deep. Many people know Steve. People follow Steve. People like Steve. People follow Bob. I mean, Bob is racing royalty in Bloomington. So, I mean, this is very personal, and it's a head scratcher for a lot of people, because, you know, they're having to confront the fact that Steve's 60 years old. I mean, and we just don't quite know how that happened, but it's going to be really special. And I really anticipate, by the way, Shana, you made a statement, and I really anticipate this. I'm surprised to see Steve, as time goes on, run an occasional Friday night at Bloomington Speedway. I mean, his dad raced at Bloomington Speedway for a long, long time.
Yeah, in a couple of years ago, I did a story on the family out here at the paper I write for in central Pennsylvania, and it'd be neat to see him run there. I keep telling him I want to see him run a midget at the Chili Bowl.
Well, you know, he's never liked the Chili Bowl for a couple of reasons, and I think he's been pretty clear about that. He's reportedly had a lot of trouble just with the fumes, which aren't terrible if you've never been there, but he has trouble with that. And the other thing, and it's just, I think it's obvious, he has a little trouble getting in a midget. He's not real comfortable. And I want you to remember this. I mean, us older guys, we assume that everyone just sort of understands and knows about Steve Kinzer, but he was a high school wrestling champion. His families have been, you know, stonemasons for years. I mean, Steve, as he's gotten older, obviously has gotten heavier, but the guy was built like a bull from the very beginning. I mean, he's a big, broad-shouldered guy. His father is a big, strong guy. A midget is a pretty close confines for Steve at this point. But he can wheel a midget. As you know, this is a friend of yours. I would think that one of John Heidenreich's proudest moments was not just that he won the Chili Bowl, but he held off Steve Kinzer, who finished second. And I can remember to this day what Steve Kinzer said in Victory Lane. He said, "The best man won tonight." And if you're a John Heidenreich, that's a tape that you want to carry around with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, indeed, it definitely would be. And I mean, if they're having a senior PGA, then why not have a senior racing series? I mean, Jack Hewitt's back to, you know, he came out of retirement. He's ran the Eldora this past weekend. So,
right.
Yeah, but I mean, what a year when you look at it. last year, Fred Raymer retires, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, Sammy Swindell retires this year. Keith Kaufman retired last year. And like we said, Steve's not retiring. He's just cutting back. So you got Steve cutting back. And you had a line there that I agree with. We're having to realize these guys are getting up there, and the days when they could wheel a car around for 120 nights a year just aren't there. I mean, don't get me wrong, the guy can still drive a race car.
Sure he can. You know? But first of all, guys have had longer sprint car careers than any point in history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, there's never been a period in history where we had so many guys who were able to race sprint cars that plus 40, plus 50, and be successful at it. Now, part of that's the equipment, power steering. Part of it is the fact that it's been lucrative for them to continue to do so. But I think the biggest issue, I just did an article on Corey Kruseman, who I think the world of, and Corey told me that the biggest issue for him was eyesight, that his eyesight is simply not the same. And therefore, occasionally he doesn't hit his marks quite like he used to. So that means some racetracks that might be a little dark or small become very problematic, particularly if we're talking about the World of Outlaws, where you have to react so quickly. So Father Time is undefeated.
True.
That's the stark reality. As much as we would like to think otherwise, you know, Steve is not in his prime. But, boy, even a three-quarter Steve Kinser is pretty damn good.
But you have a great spectacle in racing coming up on Friday night. What time does all the activities get underway there at Bloomington for Steve Kinser and the World of Outlaws, Pat?
Well, believe it or not, I think the general admission gates open at 3 o'clock, so what does that tell you? the people are going to start rolling around 3:30. Generally speaking, in Bloomington, there might have been an alteration of that. We begin a hot lap session at 6:30 and racing at 7:30. I'd encourage fans to double-check that, since it is a situation where an outside group has come in and rented the track, so they might have altered the normal schedule. But I can't tell you the gates are open at 3 o'clock, and I can guarantee you the place is going to be packed by about 5. There's no question about it. Those of you who have never been to Bloomington, you know, it sits sort of in a natural bowl, so it has the lion's share of people on that night will be in lawn chairs on the hillside, and that's been the way it's been since forever at Bloomington. And by mean forever, I mean I have films of the racetrack in around 1947, 48, and that's exactly what it looked like then.
And it's a great seating venue, whether you're on the back stretch or on the front stretch or up on the hill as well. And like I said, if it's not too late, I'll put my order in for a couple of those for the tenderloin. Just hold them for me.
All right. You got it, pal.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it out there due to other circumstances, and I apologize for that because I really wanted to get back out there. But Pat, as always, great pleasure talking with you. Have a great night, Friday night, and enjoy what should be a very, very emotional evening there in Bloomington.
It will be. Thanks for your work, Sean. We really appreciate it.
Sure thing. One of the voices of Bloomington Speedway, Pat Sullivan, joining us here on the Dirt Track Channel on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and be back with more of our show right after this. Now that fall has arrived, it's time to start working on that Christmas list for the race fan in your life. Whether you are looking for a book or a DVD, you can do all of your shopping securely online at Coastal181.com. Whether it's dirt or asphalt, short track or super speedway, open wheel or stock car, you'll find something for every race fan at Coastal181.com. Coastal181.com, reading for racers. Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show. Special thanks to our guests, Steve Wilbur and Pat Sullivan, for joining us here on today's broadcast. That's all the time we have for our show. Thanks for listening, and special thanks to our sponsors, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and Coastal181.com, reading for racers.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.